Good morning. We are continuing this morning in Hebrews 11, verse 29. So I invite you to turn there with me as we look at our exhortation this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 29. It says here in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Here we come this morning to the story of the crossing of the Red Sea, there in Exodus chapter 14. And if you look throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament as well, you see that the crossing of the Red Sea is a huge event. It is a massive event in the history of God's redemption of His people. It's in the top three, as it were. I don't know what the third is, but certainly the first is the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, followed by this amazing act of redemption here. And we see many times that this is brought out to remind the people of God of God's faithfulness. For example, Psalm 136, verses 13 through 15, in this psalm that celebrates God's faithfulness and mercy that endures forever, it says, "To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever." So God's power and mercy were displayed in epic proportions in this event. And here, the focus is brought to the faith of the Israelites. We are going through Hebrews 11. We're seeing the faith of the saints that came before us. Though they were weak, though they had their sins, they had faith. And they are examples of perseverance of faith for us. As we look unto Jesus running the race, we can look back and see what they did and be encouraged that they ran that same race of faith and reached the finish line themselves. So briefly, I want to read a little bit of the Exodus 14 account to bring these things back to our memory. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. I'll tell you which ones I'm looking at. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 10. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" So they're afraid, right? They're panicked at what's about to happen here. Verse 13, "Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever." Verse 21, "Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Verse 28, "The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left." Verse 30, "Thus the Lord saved Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." What an amazing story. Now, if you're there and you're on the plains of the Red Sea, you're about to cross, you're figuring out, what are we going to do here? The waters have not yet parted. You're standing there waiting to see what's going to happen. And then you look up the mountain and the chariots of Pharaoh are rushing down at a voracious speed towards you. What are you thinking at that moment? What do you feel like? Would you have responded as the rest of the Israelites did, somewhat afraid? What is going to happen here? And then Moses says, do not be afraid, stand still, see the salvation of God, and here's how he's going to do it. You need to walk through the sea. You need to cross that sea. So you have two options. Number one, you can wait there for the armies of Pharaoh to descend upon you and see what happens. Or you can go through the Red Sea, following Moses' instruction, God's way of redemption in that situation. That probably wasn't an easy decision for some of them. You don't normally cross seas like that, right? They don't normally part, you walk through. You're probably a little nervous that the water is going to come back down on you. That water could come right down and crush you, kill you right there, if God would not keep that sea back. In other words, it took faith to cross the Red Sea. It was probably not easy for some of them to say, this is what we're going to do. We have to go through there to escape the Egyptians. And this reminds us once again that a point that we've made in Hebrews 11, that the Word of God is the surest and infallible foundation. If you believe the Word of God, you can be sure that what He has said is true. He had told the Israelites, you're going to make it. Go through this sea and I will save you. And that's what they did. They placed faith in what God said and they crossed that sea. And so the Israelites were afraid. They had no defense. They had no weapons. They had no way to fight the Egyptians. Their only thing they could do was to trust in the Lord and to keep going. And so when we get afraid, we often get into this panicky mood, right? We start thinking of all these disaster scenarios. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And we're wondering what we should do. We're afraid. And what we need to remember in that time, in those fearful situations, which call for faith, that the Lord has ordained the situation. You recall in Exodus 14 that God said to Moses, I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. In other words, I'm going to make this whole thing happen. I'm going to put you all right there next to the sea. I'm going to have those Egyptians come down at the same moment. And you're going to have to believe me. You're going to have faith to go through the Red Sea. And we all appreciate suspense and drama when it's in a movie, for example, or in a story, right? We like to watch those things. It's exciting to see those 11th hour moments when it's right in the nick of time that the main protagonist is saved from the danger. But we don't really like to be in those situations ourselves. We'd much rather watch them, but when we get put into them, we have a much different feeling, don't we? But apparently our Lord loves suspense and drama because He set up a very suspenseful and dramatic situation here. And this is not the only example we have of that in Scripture. For example, Matthew 8, when our Lord is with the disciples, this storm comes across the ocean, or on the sea that they were on. Verse 24 of Matthew 8. Notice it says, Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but Jesus was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. What's interesting here is when Jesus gets up. He does eventually get up and stop the sea, but He kind of waits a little bit, doesn't He? He keeps sleeping. He's not done with His nap. And He's going to let the waves start licking the side of the boat a little bit, get the disciples tossed and turned a little bit, until they're wanting help. They see their need for help. And so I think what we see in these sorts of examples is that the Lord will often place us in these situations so that we will call upon Him, so that we will see our need for His redemption. He sets up the dramas and He places us in them, not because He wants to scare us, but He wants us to call upon Him and to believe in Him. For example, Psalm 50, verse 15, it says, Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. When the Lord sets us in the day of trouble, we cry out to Him. He delivers us. We praise Him. That is the scenario that happens over and over again. And so, friends, when you are brought to the end of your rope, when you're in a difficult and harrowing situation, when it is the day of trouble, call out to the Lord. Believe His word. And then when He delivers you, praise Him for it. May it be another testimony to His great redemption that you can file away in your own psalm. You can say, The mercy of the Lord endures forever. He delivered me here and here again. We must believe the Word of God. So we confess this morning that in times of difficulty, we have been fearful rather than looking to God in faith at times. And so we confess these things and ask for God to help us to have the faith to cry out to Him and then to glorify Him for His redemption. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this passage of the faith of the Israelites and the account of Your great redemption at the Red Sea. And we're reminded that You have delivered us over and over again. We pray that You'd forgive us, O Lord, for not giving thanks for Your redemption, for not seeing Your hand in all of these things. And we ask that You would help us when faced with great difficulty, with fearful times and days of trouble, that we would call upon You in the day of trouble. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.